Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Matthew 13 again. You say, are we still in Matthew 13? Oh, yeah. You know, the Bible's a bit like the widow of Sarepta's barrel. You can never come to the end of its wonders, its benefits, and its blessings. And you can go on dipping in and dipping in and dipping in, and there still be food, knowledge, that which brings you joy, that which brings you peace. So we're in Matthew 13, and I want to just read one verse with you. It's the verse 39. The verse 39 of chapter 13 of Matthew. The verse 39, listen while I read. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. If you go back to verse 36, we are told, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now we're looking, this last few assemblies, at the thought that because we are the people of God, we're targeted by the devil. In the parable, the enemy sowed tares in order to hinder the work of the wheat growing, to harm the wheat, to make it difficult for the farmer to get a harvest out of the field. And the Savior tells us that, well, that's the devil. That's the devil. That's what he's doing, and we're the target of the devil, you and I. If the devil can stop you growing and producing in your life what God wants you to produce, then the devil has harmed the work of God. He's harmed the work of God. Now, we're looking today at the fact that it is the Lord Jesus who exposes, uncovers the work of the devil. That's why we read verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And this is the Lord explaining to the disciples what the parable meant. And he's showing that the enemy, that's the devil. That's a picture of the devil engaged in his wicked work. And we need to ever remember this, that without the Lord showing us, teaching us, we would never see or understand just what the devil is up to today. We'd be deceived. We would be deceived. Were we not taught by the Lord, and that continually, we would continually fall into the devil's traps and be deceived by him. But the Savior is our guide, and the one who tells us and exposes to our gaze the wickedness of the devil. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look it up, lazy fingers. Look it up. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. I know you're sitting there and saying, well, sure, you'll read it out to us and that'll do. Well, it's good to hear the word of God read to you, but boys and girls, you will learn much more vividly and lastingly what 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says if you not only hear it, but see it. Your eyes will take a photograph of that. And later in the day, you'll be able to turn that photograph up. You'll remember what it was you saw. That's why God gave you eyes. Make sure you use them in the reading of the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's our time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here's a warning that in the last days, and I might just say this to you, I believe in the last days, the devil's activity will become much more than it is at present. The devil's suppressed, kept on a lead by the Lord. He's limited in what he can do. But God is going to give the devil more and more liberty toward the end of this age. And he'll do that in order to flush out his enemies. To flush out his enemies. As the devil is given more opportunity to mount attacks upon God and upon his people, there will be brought out into the open all the allies, all the friends of the devil. Well, God has a purpose in all that he does, and it's a wise and good purpose. So in the latter times, there's going to be a full-scale assault upon the people of God, and it's going to have an impact. It says that some shall depart from the faith. That's what the devil's out to do. get people to depart from the faith, leave the gospel, leave Christ, leave the Bible, turn their back upon it. And they do this because of the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You have a picture of how crafty the devil is right at the beginning of the Bible, when in the garden he came to Eve and with a soft and gentle voice and winning words he says, "Look, I know God said such and such, but you don't really have to believe that. Do you really think that God would do that?" And Eve, foolish woman that she was, believed him. And she left what God had said. And she started down the path that the devil pointed out. That's the way the devil has ever worked. But you'll notice how the verse begins. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." There's one who warns us of this happening. The Holy Spirit. He's the one who is sent. And he's sent by the Lord Jesus. Just as the Lord taught the disciples and said, "Look, the enemy's the devil. Get that in your mind. Understand this." Well, after he departed and went to heaven, he sent his Spirit to his people. And he told us that the Spirit shall lead you into all truth. That's why the Spirit has been sent, to teach us, to show us, to reveal to us, to warn us of the dangers that are ahead. John 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Look at that verse. The Lord Jesus is speaking at a time when the Spirit of God had not been poured out. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come. That was in the future. It happened on the day of Pentecost. "Now when he does come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but rather he'll speak that which he has been told to speak. That whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." So in other words, the Spirit of God has come amongst the people of God since the day of Pentecost to relay unto us what the Saviour says. And when you read, as we have just read, in 1 Timothy, "The Spirit speaketh expressly," he's bringing an express message from the Lord Jesus to the church, warning the church of what it is the devil is about. Just like here in the parable, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "The enemy is the devil." And the work of the Spirit of God is to expose the ways of the devil and warn us of the deceptions that he has set before us, the traps that he has laid down before us. During the war in Vietnam, when the United States forces were engaged there, it was a very irregular war. It wasn't like the First World War, wasn't even like the Second World War, where huge formations of men would face each other and clash and battle and look for the mastery. No, in Vietnam, it was a guerrilla war, by and large. And the American troops, when they were advancing through the jungle and coming to villages, they never knew who the enemy was. The enemy could be that old lady sitting there in the doorway of her hut, who as soon as she got a chance would pull a grenade out from the folds of her clothing and toss it at the soldiers. Or that old man, or that young lad. It wasn't a regular war, it was a guerrilla war. And you know, the Vietnamese, or the Viet Cong, as they called the army that the United States was opposing, was very clever at setting traps. Some of the most horrible traps. Some of the most horrible traps. A favourite one was to dig a pit, then bury in the pit bamboo stakes pointing upward. Just a whole array of sharpened points. And they used to spread all sorts of old rotting fluids and whatnot on the end of the bamboos, so that if a soldier fell in, not only was he going to be terribly injured by the spikes, but the injuries would be infected, and that would double the chances of killing him. And that happened to many and many and many and many a poor American soldier, who, even though he knew there were traps, so craftily were those traps laid that despite the warnings and despite his watchfulness, he would end up in that pit. And there were many other devices that they employed similar to that. Look, we are treading a path, and there's all sorts of devices laid to catch us, to harm us, to hinder the work of God. But the Lord warns us. He tells us. He shows to us the ways of the devil. In Revelation, in the opening chapters, you have the Savior's message to the seven churches of Asia. And in the chapter 2 and the chapter 3, you will find the phrase repeated. I want you to look it up for yourself now, please. Not now, in your own time. And the phrase that you find repeated is, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So there is this repeated warning. The Savior says, you hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me give you two examples of how the Spirit of God reveals the ways of the devil. I'll give you one example in the Old Testament and one in the New. Turn back to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, and it's the chapter 8 of Ezekiel. Look at what we read in the verse 3 of this chapter 8. And I might say to those of you, and all of you indeed, but chiefly you older ones, this is a wonderful chapter in which you see God working and informing his people of the wickedness that is at work. Few of them knew anything about this wickedness. Few of them had detected this wickedness. Not even Ezekiel. He had to be shown this by the Lord. The verse 3 of the chapter 8 says, and he put forth the form of an hand and took me by the lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. So he's carried away in the Spirit by the Lord. The reference, by the way, to the lock of his head is an indication and a sign that he's about to teach Ezekiel something. He's about to put something into Ezekiel's head, going to instruct him in something. He brought Ezekiel in the Spirit to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy which provoketh to jealousy, an old idol that had been set up in Jerusalem. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I had seen in the plain. This is a previous vision. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, the image of jealousy in the entry. This is instruction. He's pointing out something to Ezekiel. He said, furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination. Now we'll end the reading there. You've got a taste of what's happening here. Here's God, by a Spirit, revealing to Ezekiel, in order that Ezekiel would record it and reveal it to us, and of course to the people back then, the ways of the devil, how apostasy had come into Jerusalem, and it was going to cost them. Because God withdrew, and the city fell, and the people went into captivity. Here's how God works. Look at the New Testament. We're turning to the book of Revelation, and we're turning to chapter 17. I want to emphasize, boys and girls, if it weren't for the Lord, no matter how blatant may be the devil's actions and deceptions and wickedness, we wouldn't catch it on. We wouldn't catch it on. Revelation chapter 17, and we're reading from verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, now the angels, in this instance, were the messengers of the Lord to John. The angels conducted him on this wonderful tour that he had of future events and showed to him. But of course, the instruction came from the Lord by the Holy Spirit. Right at the beginning of Genesis, we are told that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was waiting on the Lord, and he was communing spiritually with the Lord. And so what is revealed to John in the book of the Revelation has come to him by the Spirit of God, oftentimes an angel conducting him, and of course it all came from the Lord Jesus. You only have to look at the opening verses of Revelation and you will see how God the Father gave to his Son, who in turn gave to his servants the message for the church. And that's how God still works. So, The angel says, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, that description indicates a most wicked thing. But John had to be taught. He had to have the matter revealed to him. Oh, we are so slow. We are so slow in detecting. You always learn, I told you this, I'm sure 100 times, I certainly told the congregation here over the years, many, 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 many times. The afflictions of the body, the diseases and illnesses of the body are an illustration of the difficulties the soul encounters. You can get up one morning and genuinely say to mum or dad, I don't feel well today. And while you don't feel well, you could not explain what's wrong. You might not feel well, but you don't know why. You don't know what's working. You don't know what is taking place within your body to do that. It will take a doctor and maybe even a visit to the hospital to bring out what it is. Is at work in you? Well, it's the same in the spiritual realm. John is about to see something that is abominable, which he would not have understood or recognized had he not been given these instructions. Verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Those words tell you just how wicked this person was that John was looking upon. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now you would have thought that when John saw what he saw, he would have been horrified. He would have taken a step back, as it were, in horror at what he saw. But it says he wondered in great admiration. I don't think that John was guilty of admiring wickedness and admiring sin, but so gorgeously, and that's a biblical phrase, describing the ways of the devil and the wickedness of the devil. So gorgeously was this woman arrayed that John lost sight of the wickedness of her and wondered. Now that's the story of sin, boys and girls. The devil can take sin, the most wicked, awful thing, and so wrap it up as to make you think, isn't that a marvelous thing? He did it with Eve. She thought, as a result of what the devil said, it would be much better to disobey God than to obey God. And only by the grace of the Lord Jesus will we ever see past the allurements, the deceptions, the disguises that the devil places upon sin and upon wickedness. I wondered with great admiration. You can see what the angel says in the verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. John could never have unraveled what this vision he was given meant if the Lord, by his Spirit, through the angel, had not given him the understanding. The devil's schemes are going to continue right to the end of this age, and they're going to become more and more enticing, and only those who are taught by the Lord, and who search the Scriptures, and who carefully note what God says, will escape his deceptions. In the last war, that is the Second World War, millions of minds were led by both sides in the war, hidden away to catch the opposition. After the war, the massive task of detecting those minds began. Now, the Allies, they had their maps of where the mines were. They did their best to capture the maps of the Germans, where their mines were. And then it was the task of man to go out where the mines were laid, dig them up, and make them harmless. And they had to go by that map and carefully follow it, or they would step on a mine. This is God's map. If you follow it, you'll not step on the devil's mine and suffer injury. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, Write your word on hearts today. We thank thee we have the Lord Jesus as our instructor. He is our teacher. And we praise thee he knows every scheme and every plot of the devil. And if we heed him and listen to him, we will not fall victim to the great deceiver. Write your word on every heart today. Bless our school. Remember the principal. We pray that as she's over there visiting in Bristol, that you would bless her and guide her and protect her. And remember that meeting tonight in Bristol and the ordination of our brother. We pray that there will be a goodly meeting, a God-honoring meeting, and a soul-stirring meeting for God's people. Answer prayer now. Look down on our little school and keep it and meet its every need for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.